Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Good Friday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. I have found out who I am. The other day I introduced myself as David Kistler, but I've had a good personality check lately, Dave, and I found out that I really wasn't you, but I am me, so I will announce myself as yours truly.
Well, Gary, I feel less conflicted and less divided now that you are thoroughly ensconced in your own personality.
Sam, any comments, brother?
What more can I add to that? I'm just glad that I'm not mixed up in this confusion. I know who I am, so I'm glad of that.
Amen, brother. Anyway, folks, we are delighted to be with you today, and we trust that you know who you are as well. And, of course, today we have a special emphasis on the program. We're going to be talking about Independence Day, what really happened on the 4th of July, and how we should respond to it. But if you'd like to have any comments share with us, why, please feel free to do so. You can call us at 1-877-667-1180 or in the Philadelphia area, 610-539-8255. But this is a very, very special weekend for those of us here in the United States of America. And I want to begin the program by reading something that is found in the American Patriots Bible about the American Revolution. It says this. It says, on March the 23rd, 1775, when Patrick Henry spoke the now famous phrase, "Give me liberty or give me death," to arouse the Second Virginia Convention to arms against the tyranny of Great Britain, he noted that, quote, "We have done everything that could be done to avert the storm which is now coming upon us," end quote. During the critical years of 1765 to 1776, the American colonies had been forced to endure taxation without representation, searches and seizures without probable cause, confiscation of firearms, and on and on. Though the colonial leaders had tried to remain loyal to the crown and reconcile their differences, they were finally compelled to break away in revolt. The Declaration of Independence was then written as a proclamation to the world of their reasons for separating from England. But while the Declaration gave a detailed list of legal offenses that England had left unresolved, the founders saw these as more than isolated wrongs. Rather, they saw them as part of a predetermined plan to take away their religious liberties and reestablish the Church of England to rule over their hearts and souls, thus enslaving the colonies. In that light, one understands the power of Patrick Henry's fiery words, "Give me liberty or give me death." Faced with such prospects, the Declaration stated that the American colonists were set to defend the laws of nature and of nature's God, words that define the principle upon which the founders stood. The laws of nature were understood to mean the will of God for man as revealed to man's reason. However, because man is fallen and his reason does not always comprehend this law, God gave his law in the Bible to make it absolutely clear. And Dave and Sam, I think that's a pretty good way to start off our program today, understanding what was really behind the concept of the Declaration of Independence. Among many other things that they were facing in the early days of our nation, they did not want to surrender our first liberty, and that, of course, would be religious freedom. And that's something, you know, Sam, we need to build upon and rebuild upon even in the day in which we live, particularly in light of some of the things that have taken place lately with our Supreme Court.
No question, Gary. And, you know, in thinking about this, you know, yesterday we commented, and just looking just briefly a little bit ago, that a majority of people in the country recently, just one poll anyway, indicates who, when polled, did not and could not accurately state what the 4th of July celebration was all about.
Right.
And so we have gotten ourselves in a position where you know, we have days for holiday purposes and get-togethers and all that, but we've lost the essence of what it really means, and that is critical and fatal, I believe, in the history of a nation. So that's what we're going to talk about here today. You know, one thing I'd like to start with, just one thought here, in thinking about the 4th of July. I'll make this statement. The 4th of July, to me, is not a celebration of an event, like a birthday, but it's a celebration of an intent. Not the celebration.
State that again. That's pretty good. State that again.
The 4th of July is not a celebration of an event. It's the celebration of an intent.
Good.
And I think that's clear on its face, but, you know, it's not like we celebrate a birthday. I was born on such as a date, and I recognize that birth. The Declaration of Independence was not the birth of a nation. It was the statement of an intent to which a nation became. It was the beginning of the war. It was not the ending of the conflict. The battle had to be won yet. It was a statement of intent. And it was a statement of intent about some very critical things. The fear of God. The fact that a sovereign God rules in the affairs of men, and that rights come from him and not from government. And it was a statement to the king and to government generally, that government was not the friend. Government was to be controlled. And government in the hands of the wrong people becomes a dictatorship that is the antithesis of freedom. It was all wrapped up in that statement of intent. That's what started the process. And I think, Gary, it's why it's so important we understand that when we come to the 4th of July, we must be thinking that that intent is still in process, because they said in that document that if there was ever a time come when such and such a government would arise that were of a dictatorial nature and felt that they were God and not the servant, that the people were to rise up and throw it off. Why did they say that? Well, the reason they said it was is because it wasn't an event. It was the statement of an intent that has to be nurtured and has to be cultivated by all citizens throughout the history of the nation, if in fact this experiment is to succeed. So it's not a celebration of an event. It's a celebration of an intent.
And, you know,
Gary, could I?
That's a good point. And, yeah, Dave, I was just going to say to you, you know, one of the things that we understand from history is that it was the pastors and the preachers who really motivated the people to get behind that effort, too. That intent.
Gary, indeed it was. And if I could just add this quickly before the break, it was the Declaration of Independence was both a culmination and a commencement. And let me explain after the break what I mean by that. But leading up to the Declaration of Independence, it started well before July 2nd, July 4th of 1776. We'll talk more about that after the break.
That's right. It goes back years. And the critical years were between 1765 and 1776 and even further beyond that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking a lot about Independence Day, the 4th of July. We're even going to be giving some suggestions to you pastors on what to preach on this coming Sunday, so stay tuned. We will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today, right after this. Don't go away.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner, as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Washington, D.C. was in a panic as 70,000 Confederate troops were marching toward it just 60 miles away. The furious fighting lasted 3 days. As General Lee found his ammunition running low, he ordered General Pickett to make a direct attack. After an hour of murderous fire and bloody hand-to-hand combat, the Confederates were pushed back and the Battle of Gettysburg ended this day, July 3, 1863, with over 50,000 casualties. President Lincoln confided, "When everyone seemed panic-stricken, I went into my room, got down on my knees before Almighty God and prayed."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Without God, liberty will not last, a quote from Thomas Jefferson. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. And this is a very special program as we are going to be talking more about the 4th of July and the Declaration of Independence and Independence Day. And Dave Kistler, you were speaking when we had to go into the break. Continue, my friend.
Well, thank you, Gary. Yeah, the Declaration of Independence was both a culmination of some things that led up to July of 1776, and it was also, as Sam said, the commencement of something else. And when I say culmination, I mean that leading up from the years of 1756 or thereabouts all the way up to 1776, some things had happened on the part of British Parliament toward the colonies that really led to the Declaration of Independence. In 1756, there was a thing called the Stamp Act. A number of years later, 1765, there was also a Stamp Act. 1767, there was the Townshend Act. All of these different acts were attempts to tax the colonists. They were known as regulatory acts, and ultimately, the Tea Act, the taxation of tea, led to the Boston Tea Party in 1773. And so basically, the colonists had had enough of taxation without representation. And so that culminated in what we now call the Declaration of Independence. And then the Declaration of Independence commenced the war for our independence. As Sam said, it didn't solve really anything. It started an idea, a concept, an intent that has resulted in what we now know as the United States of America. So it's not, as Sam so eloquently said, the celebration of a birthday. It's the celebration of much, much more.
Well, indeed it is. And, of course, pastors had a great part to play in that. It's interesting to note that when the Declaration of Independence was written, that all of the colonies agreed with it, but they were very cautious. They didn't know about the timing. They didn't know if this was the time they should have done it or what. But it was Reverend John Witherspoon, who was a delegate from New Jersey, who basically encouraged them by saying, and I quote, "There is a tide in the affairs of men. We perceive it now before us. To hesitate to consent to our own slavery. That noble instrument should be subscribed to this very morning by every pen in this house. Though these gray hairs may soon descend to the sepulcher, I would infinitely rather that they descend thither by the hand of the executioner than desert at the crisis the sacred cause of my country." Sam, that was a pretty strong statement that made by a pastor that actually led the rest of the colonies to go ahead and sign this declaration, showing how important pastors were back in the days of our founding.
Well, Gary, that's exactly correct. And it, they played a critical role, you know, all the way from the very beginning. Beginning meaning all the way back to the days of the Pilgrims and the Puritans and all the way up through the days of the Great Awakening, which led up to this whole, as Dave was so clearly said, this was a process of over a generation or more, many generations, that led up to helping to prepare the way, and the pastors in the pulpit, a collective understanding of the fear of God, people holding a, what we would term now a biblical worldview, things that were so clearly espoused by such individuals as William Penn right here in Pennsylvania, said that you could not have an experiment in freedom without understanding the sovereignty of God and the depravity of man and the purpose for government and the purpose for law. He laid all those things out. They had this, Gary, and the pastors in the pulpit played a most critical role in helping to take these fundamental principles and putting them in a way that people could understand them, and then they acted upon them. You know, I wrote down just a little phrase a little bit ago in thinking about this. I want to put it out here as well. It says, you know, the door of freedom swings on the hinges of the fear of God and is oiled by the preaching of men of God.
That's profound. Say it again.
The door of freedom swings on the hinges of the fear of God and is oiled, the hinges oiled by preaching of the men of God.
Wow.
And, you know, and in effect, you know, even de Tocqueville, the historian, when he came over after the conflict of the War of England was won, he went about and he said, you know, what was the secret to the success of America? And he ultimately said it was the preaching of righteousness from the pulpits of America that made the distinctive difference between what happened here and the French Revolution, which ended up in a disaster. And of course, that was the point of it. We could not be where we are had we not had men and women of God, men and women who had a fear of God, an understanding of the Word of God, and understanding out of that comes the definition of freedom. And then it was oiled by the faithful preaching from the pulpits. And I believe, Gary, that if we fail to preach, as I think we've been silent in this country for a long time, if you take the oil off the hinges and you take away the fear of God, which is really one which it swings, that door of freedom not only rusts shut, but freedom is replaced with bondage. And it's got to work together. And I think, again, as we're thinking about the 4th of July, we have a lot to be thankful for. But without going back and rehearsing some of these things we're talking about here, we just simply have nothing more than a day where we grill hamburgers. Mm. And the 4th of July is a whole lot more than that.
Mm. Yeah, it almost has become sort of a family festivity type of a thing. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, as you said, I think, earlier in the program, Sam, there are many people who don't even understand what the 4th of July is, why we celebrate it. In fact, I was watching the news this morning, and the question was asked, on the 4th of July, who do we celebrate freedom from? And, you know, Sam and Dave, people could not give those answers or could not give the answer. Somebody said we are celebrating our freedom from California. Sad, David, sad.
Well, you know, Gary, it is. And one of the things I think that needs to take place, you know, Sam is so correct. The oil that keeps the hinge of freedom moving easily is the preaching of the Word of God. And part of our preaching needs to contain the truth of what happened historically in this country. It was the same Patrick Henry that said, "Give me liberty or give me death," that also said this: "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that reason alone, people of other faiths have been afforded freedom of worship here." We have a rich history, and it is a Christian history. It is a Judeo-Christian worldview that was the founding of this nation. And Gary, it does not surprise me at all that people can't declare who we declared our independence from, because our history is being taken from us, and certainly the religious component, the Christian component of our history is being taken from us as well. So preachers, when you stand in your pulpit on Sunday, declare not just the Word of God, declare not just spiritual freedom, but tie together with it the truth of our physical freedom that is based on a much deeper and much greater spiritual freedom. Tell the truth of our history, which is a Judeo-Christian history.
Well, it is a Judeo-Christian history, and it's interesting to note, if I recall, that one of the phrases that was used a lot, Sam, during the Revolutionary period was where they would shout, "No king but King Jesus." Think about that. How would that do today?
You know, isn't that an amazing thing, Gary? But again, the fact that that was done demonstrates a remarkable and deep and mature understanding of a biblical worldview, of the understanding of authority and government and God's role. And they understood that all authority was in Jesus Christ, and that he, in fact, was the presider over really all of government. Now, that's a profound, true biblical interpretation. That's what the Scripture teaches. But they understood it and they acted upon it. And when we engage or are involved in a culture that rejects God, and it, which it has, and certainly we know, don't even talk about Jesus Christ publicly because somebody's going to come down on top of you. They really, ultimately, it's all about Jesus Christ and his authority. That really is what the whole thing comes down to. And we either have freedom when we recognize that, or we will have bondage if we reject that concept and what our founders so fully understood. That, again, that was wrapped up in the 4th and the Declaration of Independence. Without that understanding, we wouldn't have had a Declaration of Independence.
That's right. And you know, David, there are some preachers today, we talk about preaching over the pulpit, there are some preachers today, particularly in recent years, who said that really what the founders did was to rebel against Romans chapter 13, where it says that we ought to obey the powers that be. What are your thoughts on that? I realize we're out of time now for this break, but when we come back, maybe you can delve into that a little bit, because that's an issue that seems to be growing today. That when the preachers and others rebelled against King George, they were violating Romans chapter 13. And how does that fit into the conversation that we're dealing with today? Ladies and gentlemen, we want to encourage you to stay tuned. When we come back, we will be talking about this subject and other subjects relative to the 4th of July. encouraging preachers to preach firmly on freedom this coming Sunday. Don't go away. We'll be back with more right after this.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Worldwide, stock markets are down with a close vote expected Sunday on whether Greeks accept spending cuts in exchange for more bailout money from Europe. Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras went on TV urging a no vote, translated here.
I tell you to say no to all of the ultimatums and fear. I tell you to say no to divisions, no to panic, and to take decisions calmly and responsibly.
The Greek government's defaulted on a loan from the International Monetary Fund. An alligator kills a 28-year-old man in Orange, Texas.
The unidentified man was swimming in a bayou early this morning with a female companion. The gator attacked while he was still in the water. The victim's body wouldn't be found for a couple of hours by a search team led by deputies and a Texas game warden.
Fox News Radio's Evan Brown. There is a sign warning people not to swim there. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In 1778, George Washington said in Valley Forge, "If having pleased the almighty ruler of the universe to defend the cause of the United States, and finally to raise up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth, to establish our liberty and dependence upon a lasting foundation, it becomes us to set apart a day of gratefully acknowledging the divine goodness and celebrating the important event which we owe to his divine interposition."
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And before the break, I threw a question to David Kistler that's based upon the idea that there are those today who teach that when our founders rebelled against King George like they did, that they also violated the teaching of Romans chapter 13, where it tells us that we have the responsibility to obey the authorities that are above us, and so forth. And so I asked Dave if he would comment on that. Dave, you've had a couple of minutes there to get your thoughts together. What say you on that argument is out there that what our founders did was in violation of the Word of God?
Well, Gary, thanks for the advance warning on this question. I appreciate the opportunity to try to answer it. Let me first say this. In Romans 13, where the scripture says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, the word subject is a word that has to do with submission, and it has primarily to do with an attitude. The Greek word is hupotasso, and it refers to an attitude. Let every soul have an attitude of submission to the higher powers. So is it possible to have an attitude of submission while at the same time in action, not obeying every command of a tyrannical government? And I believe that that both can exist. You can maintain an attitude of submission while resisting the tyrannical actions of a tyrannical government. And really, that was the basis upon which our founders declared independence from the mother country of Great Britain. It's shouldn't be a surprise that some of the British preachers like John Wesley, as we were approaching, what appeared to be an impending war between the colonists and the mother country. British preachers like John Wesley urged restraint, while colonial preachers like John Witherspoon, John Mayhew, and others kind of fanned the flames of the revolution. But the bottom line, Gary, is this. The colonists saw themselves really as not anti-government, but anti-tyranny. They were casting off not all restraint, but they were resisting a tyrannical king in the form of King George. They believed that he had violated the scripture. He was operating so wickedly that he could no longer be considered God's servant. And they believed it was their duty to cast off the restraint of the mother country. In fact, Mayhew said in 1750, this phrase, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. And probably more important than anything, Gary, I could say, the colonists viewed their action as a defensive one, not an offensive one. If you know anything about 1775 and 1776, the colonists had presented the king with numerous appeals for reconciliation, and those appeals were met with armed military action. And in 1770, the British fired upon unarmed citizens in Boston. And the watchword there was don't fire unless fired upon. And, of course, the colonists found themselves in a defensive position protecting themselves. And so really, in one sense, gentlemen, the Declaration of Independence was a response to what had been started against us by England already. And the colonists viewed themselves as defending themselves. Also, one last thing I'll say, they also believed, according to Hebrews chapter number 11, that there was justification for resisting tyrannical authority. They cited Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and other Old Testament examples of those who were involved in the overthrowing of oppressed governments as biblical justifications for doing so. So for those reasons, Gary, and a host of others I could mention, I do not believe that there was a violation of Romans 13 with the Declaration of Independence.
I think that's a very good explanation. Of course, I think, Dave, what you said there actually led them to the point of expressing that, that watchword, as it were, no king but King Jesus. And, of course, you know, by virtue of the fact that they felt as though that King George was a tyrant, and that they had the authority of God to overthrow, or I should say rebel against him. That, of course, is what was enabled this nation to have such, what I believe to be, such a biblical understanding and a biblical foundation, I should say. As a matter of fact, many of those pastors back in those days, actually from their pulpits, they recruited troops and strengthened them and encouraged them in what we refer to or what they referred to as patriotic sermons. But Sam, they were standing on the authority that they had from the Word of God and speaking to the authority in government, were they not?
Well, actually, they certainly were. And this is a very big principle, Gary, that I think it's good for us to even consider today where we are right now. You know, God speaks in the Old Testament and he compares rebellion as to the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion meaning that which defies authority. And that which steps out beyond the authority structure that God puts in place. And that's why we speak a lot about the Pastors Network, about the understanding of biblical worldview, the fact that God's established the home and the church and civil government. These are all authorities, but they all have jurisdictional limitations. There are some things that civil government can do, should do, and should not do. And there are things that the church should do and the home should do. The balance of these is what produces freedom. The balance of these is what produces God's blessing and understanding of that. These founders, the last thing they wanted was God's judgment because they rebelled. They were extraordinarily careful about operating under authority. And in fact, they had operated under authority when they came by order of the king, and he gave them certain rights under that authority. But then when it came time for the declaration, they had already worked themselves to the point where the duly elected leadership of the colonies, the governors of the colonies, and the elected leaders that were in place because they had been permitted that even by Britain, these authorities, including the pastor in the pulpit as an authority, these authorities are what said no and pushed back against the overarching, exceeding efforts of the king in his civil government authority. So it was authority versus authority. That is how challenges and changes are properly made, and it's that understanding that helped this war for independence be successful, where in France it was just rebellion. During the French Revolution. This is a very, very critical point, and I think that's why if we do not understand authority, we will potentially get ourselves in big trouble from God's perspective. But they understood this.
And Gary, not only did they understand that, but they also understood the magnitude of what they were doing when they signed that declaration. They did not know what to expect. They probably all realized that they could lose their lives. As a matter of fact, after the announcement that the declaration had been signed, many of them just wept openly. Some of them actually prayed because they knew what they were doing here and the ramifications of it. And David, it just seems as though we need more of that kind of an attitude today, which means standing for truth, taking the authority that God has given to us to stand for truth, and then just trust God for the outcome.
Well, Gary, I agree. And if I could cite one example of maintaining an attitude of submission to authority while at the same time not obeying every tyrannical authority as far as resisting an action, but maintaining a submissive attitude. In the Boston Tea Party of 1773, when Samuel Adams led the Sons of Liberty to commit that act, there was some damage done to one of the ships in the process of tossing the tea into the harbor. And to show you the attitude of submission that these men wanted to maintain, after the Boston Tea Party was over, the men went back and paid to have the damage done to one of those ships repaired. So do you see the conflict, as Sam was talking about? They wanted to maintain submission to authority while at the same time understanding that they had what they believed to be a biblical mandate to cast off inappropriate, tyrannical actions of a king who was no longer operating under God's authority. So they walked that tightrope, and I believe they walked it in a very appropriate manner.
Well, they did. And, it's interesting to note that it was in 1775 that a Lutheran pastor by the name of Muhlenberg, John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, preached a sermon from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 that says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And in concluding that message, he declared, and I quote, that there is a time to preach and a time to fight, and now is the time to fight. He then drew off his clerical robes to reveal the uniform of a Revolutionary Army officer and led, what was it, some 300 of his own men in the battle. So, they understood what they were up against, and they were willing to pay the price for it, weren't they, Sam?
Gary, they were. And, when you risk your life and you put and you jeopardize, the safety of your family, and all of the signers of that declaration did. They jeopardized their family. They jeopardized their possessions. They were willing to sacrifice their sacred honor. There is something about pursuing a much higher vision, obedience to God versus obedience to man, that gives that kind of strength that can prevail, as what these individuals indicated. And we are living here, the beneficiaries, Gary, of what they knew and what they were willing to do.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to talk more specifically about pastors and what you can do in your preaching this coming Sunday. So stay tuned. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap today, right after this.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Candidates and politicians are fond of saying that our children are our future, only to then proceed to saddle them with unimaginable debt, thanks to out-of-control spending and massive government waste. I wish I had an instant solution for that, but I don't. But here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, we take seriously our commitment to the next generation, and one way we show it is with our City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp, held the last full week of July each summer. It's a life-changing week that helps teens discover and guide their God-given leadership skills for their own good and for the benefit of others. This year, we've got our best lineup of speakers ever, and we still have space for a few more high school teens to come. So don't let your high schooler miss it. For details, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. That's 1-800-FAMILY-1.
When a nation embraces evil and rejects good, when evildoers are commended while Christians are maligned, it's time to understand the reason. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1 that people once knowing the truth of God, experiencing the blessing of God, and who through science and technology uncover the mysteries of creation but then reject the truth and refuse to give God the glory, God will wipe his hands of these people and remove his mercy from them. He will give them up to general sexual perversion, then to deviant sexual attractions, including homosexuality, then to a reprobate mind, so that they not only can do all the evil they want, but also experience all the dire consequences of their sin. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, saying that rejecting God and His truth is fatal. For me, I prefer to glorify God, thank Him for all He's done, and be blessed by Him. How about you?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the program today, we've been talking about the 4th of July and our independence and the part that pastors played in our independence. And, of course, God used them in a great way to preach patriotic sermons, to give moral and biblical leadership back in the day. And, of course, I firmly believe that because of the strong pastors who had strong pulpits heralding forth the truth of the Word of God, we have a nation that was founded on biblical principles. And, of course, 2 days from today is Sunday, and I know that a lot of pastors are contemplating what to preach on. And in this last segment, I'd like for us to talk a little bit about what pastors can preach on from the perspective of freedom, even some good historical illustrations as to what they might be able to use in their sermons. And so, Sam, I'll go to you first, if you don't mind. Share with some of our pastors out there, or all of our pastors out there, some of the thoughts that they might be able to include in their sermonizing for this Sunday morning to strengthen our nation on biblical truth, which results in freedom.
Gary, just a couple of thoughts, and we could spend a lot of time, because there's many things, but, you know, to me, it's a great opportunity to talk about the real definition of freedom. Clearly, we talk about the gospel, because that's where spiritual freedom comes, but it's a great, great opportunity to lead right into civil freedom. And the fact that that civil freedom, as we've come to enjoy, doesn't happen automatically. It never has. It's got to come out of the hearts and the minds of those who have first tasted of spiritual freedom, been released from spiritual bondage, sinful bondage, and put into the freedom that Christ can give and what we have. And that parlays into the concept of civil. Civil freedom is the exact opposite, obviously, of civil bondage and slavery. But the connections are there. It's a tremendous opportunity to lay out that concept and to make a natural connection to where we are. And, of course, that the continuation point of that is that spiritual freedom is only known and found out and determined through the Word of God. And maintained and developed by faith in Jesus Christ, the plan of redemption from the beginning of time. I mean, that's really where it comes from. But as we've talked about in this program, civil freedom, as our founders talked about, they also understood about, as we talked about, King Jesus. They understood about the continuing role that biblical understanding must have. And again, bear down on the fact that what we have here is not an accident. It came because people of God acted upon obediently, and we also have a duty in the pulpits to preach it and in the pews to practice it.
Well, and it really goes back to the idea, Sam, of preaching the truth, does it not? Because Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I mean, we've got to get back to fundamental biblical truth, and preachers need to preach that because we live in a day when folks say there is no absolute truth. So that's very significant to our freedoms.
Well, it certainly is. Of course, that's where it starts. That's why that's why the pastor in the pulpit is the one equipped of God, mandated by God to speak to these issues. It's because it's all the Word of God. You take the Word of God out, I guarantee you, you cannot have civil freedom. You throw the Word of God out, you will not have the blessings of God. They are linked, and of course, that is the role of the pastor to preach the Word of God, and that's where it starts. That's why he has to know it. That's why he's got to do it. But the significance and the segue into the actual facts of the day are so clear and easy at this time of year. It's a shame to not take advantage of that.
Absolutely. David Kistler, your thoughts. So what kind of encouragement can you give to pastors who are anticipating their sermons on Sunday?
Well, Gary, I would encourage them to do some reading on the history of our nation. One of the things I think that we're losing and have been losing for a long time, again, is the truth of our history. A number of years ago, when we were doing one of our crusades in Washington, D.C., a French film crew came by and they noticed the overt expressions of patriotism that were linked with also our proclamation of faith in Jesus Christ. And the head of this French film crew said to me, he said, "Dave, I'd like to interview you for about a half hour." Well, that turned into 2 hours worth of interviews. And he was intrigued by this. He kept asking me, he said, "I see this blending of faith and patriotism, faith and patriotism under your big tent." He said, "Help me understand how faith and patriotism intersect in the United States of America." He said, "Because those two never intersect in France." And so I just began referencing for him certain landmarks in D.C. I pointed out the 555-foot-tall Washington Monument. I said, "Do you realize at the top of it, on the very pinnacle, the very point of the Washington Monument, etched when that monument was completed, were two words. And those two words are Laus Deo, which are Latin. They mean in English, praise be to God." I said, this nation was founded with a linking of faith and patriotism, or faith and freedom. If you walk into the rotunda of the Capitol, which he had, I said, you will notice there are 8 paintings hanging in the Capitol rotunda. 3 of those paintings are overtly religious. There's a painting of the baptism of Pocahontas. There's a painting of the embarking of the pilgrims to go from Holland to the New World. There is also a painting there of Columbus arriving in the New World and men kneeling to pray, to thank God for the safe journey. Those are overtly religious paintings. And Gary, the one that is most stirring to me is the embarking of the pilgrims from Holland to this country. There in that painting in the Capitol Rotunda is an open copy of the scriptures as they're kneeling. And the first chapter of Matthew is clearly visible. You can read the text of the first chapter of Matthew in that painting. And anyone that knows the history of the pilgrims, they had been given a charter from the King of England to settle in Virginia, but a storm, I believe sovereignly sent by God, blew them north. They ended up not landing in Virginia, which was their original destination. They ended up landing in Plymouth, Massachusetts, which means the charter they had been given, because they didn't land in Virginia, but rather way north, the charter they'd been given by the King of England was no longer valid. So what they did, Gary, is they wrote their own charter before they exited the ship in Plymouth, and they call that charter the Mayflower Compact. Can I read the wording, the very first paragraph of the Mayflower Compact? It says this: "In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith." And then they go on and talk about why they came. But Gary, there's the statement that a pastor can use. This country, the colonization of this part of the world, was begun for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith. Gary, we were founded as a distinctly Christian nation.
Well, that's absolutely true, and that's powerful, Dave, and I appreciate you emphasizing that. And so, pastors, you know, as Dave said, understand our history. Build sermons around that. As Sam said, preach on freedom. Preach the truth. And then to the rest of us, as we celebrate the 4th of July tomorrow, let's thank God for the way that He's brought this nation together. And let's pray that God will lead every one of us to stand for truth and righteousness, that we might be able to maintain freedoms here in the United States of America until Jesus comes. Thank you for joining us today. Until Monday, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dull, saying stand up for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net. and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.